If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This statement of our Lord Jesus Christ does not only mean God's Ten Commandments, but his teaching that spans the entire content of Holy Scripture. If you love him, you will observe and keep all of his word. If you love Jesus, you will be concerned about sound doctrine, healthy teaching, unpolluted by falsehood and deceit. And so it follows, to say you love God, while at the same time despising his very teaching, is no love at all. It's no love at all, because for the Christian, for the baptized believer, God's teaching should always be on your heart, on your mind, and on your lips. And Jesus mandates that we observe everything he has taught us. All of it. That means no cherry picking. That means no plucking verses out of context and morphing them to say what you want them to say. It means grabbing on and holding fast to God's word from the beginning to the end. God cannot be mocked. Lip service, empty platitude, saying one thing while doing something else, that will not fly before your God. God's law, it requires action. It demands more than simply saying, I will not covet, but God demands that you physically turn your eyes and your hearts away from that object tempting you to sin against your God in either thought, word, or deed. God's mighty law forbids greed. So don't be tight-fisted. Give. Give to those in need without worrying about what you will eat or what you will drink. Jesus says this in Luke 12:15. He says, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. God's commandments, friends, God's commandments require much more than just thinking about loving your neighbor, but actually doing it, tending to the poor, helping the widows, being mindful of those in need, and doing everything you can in whatever vocation you have been called into, be it mother, father, husband, wife, son, daughter, or worker, whatever you do. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And don't be afraid of being called names like Holy Roller or Legalist because you only seek to do the commands your God has given you. But also know this, God sees it when his people honor him with their lips only to turn around and do the very opposite. That is not the type of love God commands and requires from his people, and it is nowhere close to fulfilling the demands that God has laid upon you in his word. Don't kid yourself. True godly love of Christ means action. As one Martin Luther unhesitatingly says when he comments on the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, says Luther in his large catechism. He says, if therefore you send someone away who is naked, when you could clothe him, you've caused him to freeze to death. If you see someone suffer hunger and you don't give him food, you have caused him to starve. So also, if you see anyone innocently sentenced to death or in similar distress and do not save him, although you know ways and means to do so, you have killed him. For you have withheld your love from him and deprived him of the benefit by which his life would have been saved. Thus says Luther. Friends, God's commandments, they demand a lot from us. In fact, the truth is They demand so much that after a while it becomes a crushing burden. Whenever we don't fulfill what we have been told to do, and that is every day. It's every day that our sins go on our records, things we've done, things we have left undone. And so to hear from our Lord, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," not exactly the most uplifting statement to hear, is it? If you love me. It's a conditional sentence that seems to say only if we perform everything our Lord has demanded of us, then can we rightfully love our God. Being a Christian, one redeemed freely by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that is not a pass to overlook God's mighty law. It's not an excuse to revel in sin. The gospel, the free gift of God's forgiveness in Christ, is not that reason we need to avoid doing good before God and man. But, on the same token, trying with all of your strength to obey every jot and tittle your God has told you to do will lead to either two destinations. Arrogance, because you think you can do it, or you will sink into despair when you realize you cannot. When the Reformation was in full swing, we're going back to the 16th century here, the teaching of justification once again came into the center of the church's life. Justification, just to refresh you, all that is, friends, that word, all that means is God declares you righteous and forgiven for the sake of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. As that teaching began to once again take root in a land that had previously been void for so long of the pure proclamation of God's forgiveness in Christ, the Lutheran reformers and the Roman Catholic theologians were locked in a fierce battle. The opponents of Luther thought they had scored big when they quoted this verse from James. It says, "Faith apart from works is dead." Faith apart from works is dead. James 2:26. It seemed to the Lutheran opponents they had it. Obviously, works are part of man's salvation. They're part of your offering to God in order to be saved. On the contrary, there was nothing in that verse antithetical to the Lutheran position. As the reformers boldly asserted, Philip Melanchthon would go on to make the point about this very passage that yes, of course, a living, active faith, a faith created by God's Holy Spirit through his proclaimed audible word, that faith, true faith, cannot help but bring forth good works. And so James is right in saying faith without works is dead, because quite simply, friends, the dead faith produces nothing at all. A living faith. A faith that God gives. A faith God creates. That's a different matter. And that faith very much produces fruits for the world to see. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But that's just the start of his teaching we hear in the gospel lesson this morning. He goes on to talk about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that intercessor, mediator that God has sent. The Holy Spirit dwells inside his church. It is the Holy Spirit that calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies God's church on earth. And it is the Holy Spirit who is a helper, because the Holy Spirit gives faith. A faith the world cannot understand, but a faith to trust in Christ, to receive his forgiveness, help, and strength in every trouble, in every need. Yes, God's commandments, his law, they demand a lot. But remember, Christian, you are not alone in this world. The Holy Spirit is with you. Christ is with you. Your God is with you. What that means is simply this: God's commandments, which are so good, so right, and at the end of the day, impossible for us to fully keep, they do not crush you unto death. His law, does not condemn you in your sin because your very record of sin, your record of transgressions against your God, has been wiped clean on account of Jesus Christ alone. When you are talking about your salvation, friends, take comfort in what God says. Salvation is not yours by works of the law, but by God's grace through faith in Christ, your living God and Savior, who bled for you, who died for you, who rose again for you, and he promises he will not leave you. This love, the love of your God, is what stirs his people to love in return. So loving Jesus and keeping his commandments, friends, that means living a life of faith. It means living a life where you do reflect upon your baptism. Baptism that, as the epistle lesson says this morning, now saves you, because it is there that God clothes you in the righteousness of Jesus. Loving Jesus is a life where we do confess, it's a life where we daily repent, and it's a life where we receive every day God's mercy, love, and pardon. It's a life where we can say, I delight in the teachings of my God, and I want to keep them. And we say that precisely, and this is important, because first and foremost, you have been redeemed by Jesus, who calls you, gathers you, has brought you into his body, and he has named you his child. And from that, we certainly, continually, and daily receive from our God his nourishment, healing, and the forgiveness of sins. I will conclude by saying this. Never depart from the word of your God, in which, yes, you hear his righteous commandments, but you also hear the gospel, that good news of God's free gift of forgiveness, yours through Christ. And know also, you are never alone. I am sure for many of you, you're going through a storm right now, and it's rough. The waters are choppy, and the boat is being filled. Remember, you're not alone. Your God has not abandoned you, and he promises he will not. He will not. He is your rock, your refuge, a very present help in every trouble. And no matter how bad it gets, remember, the deed is done, salvation is yours. The victory over death has been met, and it is yours in Christ, who has also prepared for you mansions of glory, prepared for you by his shed blood. And he now says to you his promise. He will not leave you as orphans. Amen. And may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.